Well, we're going to switch gears and come back locally again and talk about a little more about Springfield, and we'll talk from the Republican perspective. Joining me now on the phone is Representative Tom Demmer. He is the House Republican leader from Dixon, Illinois. Representative, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm curious, we've seen the proposal from Governor Pritzker on the graduated rate income tax. We've seen his proposed tax rates. And the House Republicans are basically standing united saying, no, we're not interested in a graduated rate income tax. We're not interested in, does that carry over? Is there no talk, no negotiation on this?
Well, I think we have a pretty clear stand right now. We have all the members of the House Republican Caucus who've signed on new resolution saying we don't think a graduated tax is the right direction. So, you know, we're trying to negotiate on a lot of other pressing issues right now, namely getting a balanced budget in this upcoming fiscal year, you know, working on things that will improve the state's economy. But when we look at the graduated tax, we think it's really just really opening the door to a lot of bad things down the road. And so we're opposed to it.
Well, I mean, when you say a lot of bad things down the road, what can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I think the question right now is, you know, not about one specific rate structure that's being put in place. That's the kind of conversation that the Pritzker administration wants to focus on. But what we're looking at is the question is really, should the flat tax protection be removed from the Constitution? And when we look at the track record we have in Springfield with tax increases, we think that removing a flat tax protection from the Constitution gives a blank check to lawmakers in Springfield, and that the rate schedule that we see a few years down the road is going to look nothing like this one that was initially proposed.
But, I mean, we, as you said, we do, you know, it's not often, but we do raise the current flat rate income tax, and we've done it actually relatively frequently in the last couple of years.
Yeah, we have, and I think that's part of the point here is that, you know, we sort of feel like, what are we, again, coming back to the well, again, just looking at raising taxes instead of, you know, looking at some of the other things. I mean, I think, you know, last week you had Deputy Governor Hines on, and I thought one of his quotes was pretty revealing. He said that in the current fiscal year's budget, they said no to 90% of the requests for more funding. So I think we have to ask, if they're able to pass a graduated tax, are they still going to have the discipline to say no to 90% of the requests for more funding? Or is it more likely for us to believe that they're going to have to say yes to a lot of those and continue to come back to Illinois taxpayers to try to find a way to pay for it?
Well, in that conversation with Deputy Governor Hines, I was curious, too, when I asked him about, you know, as a sign of kind of purchase and goodwill about budget cuts. And he basically said, you know, we've cut everything that we can cut. And I mean, it is government. Come on. I was kind of skeptical with that answer.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, we look at the amount of time that the Pritzker administration has spent on raising taxes and, you know, designing a new rate structure for taxes. They should have spent a little bit of time of that on the other side of the ledger. The budget they introduced, I think the only two things you could say are cuts are, one, underfunding our pension contribution, which we know what kind of track record that has in Springfield, and two, eliminating a scholarship program for low-income families. And that's what they point to as cuts on that side of the ledger. We think there's probably something else there, and, you know, we're certainly willing to work with them and try to come up with a plan that spends money responsibly and tries to save money where we can.
Well, do you believe there is a need for additional revenue?
I think that we could get additional revenue if we make some changes that'll help us grow our economy. I mean, this is the message we've been talking about. As you mentioned, we've raised taxes a couple times in the last decade. At each of those times, Republicans were there saying, you can't only look at what the tax rate is. You can't just continue to hope that we're going to get more revenue by changing the rate. We've been focused on trying to enact policies that will bring people back to the state of Illinois, reverse the population loss that we see, add new jobs here. I mean, the point was made several times in the last few years. If Illinois was growing, even at an average rate, you know, even at looking across the country at an average rate, we'd have a huge amount of revenue that'd be coming into the state. Instead, we're probably the slowest growing state in the country. We're losing people. We're not capitalizing on some of the economic success that other states have seen, and that has a direct impact on our bottom line.
You know, one of the things when you talk about kind of the exodus and everything, and I was did a conference in Aurora at Aurora University on Midwest and revival attempts for in the Rust Belt, and I think of a place like, you know, Dixon along the Rock River and Dixon Sterling and that, and I'm curious, you know, what is the rural economy like? In medium, small and medium mid-sized communities in Illinois?
You know, I think you kind of see some pockets of places where they've gotten things right, and you see some development. Rochelle is right at the center of my district, you know, a town that sits at the intersection of Interstate 88 and Route 39, so a good logistical hub there. They've been able to capitalize on a lot of that geographic location and some of the advantages that come with that. Other communities, though, if you're in a rural Illinois and you don't sit on an interstate or on a major rail line, it's a struggle. And you tend to sort of go along with the health of the agriculture market, which, you know, is strong across rural Illinois. So, you know, that can be a strength in a good year. But in other years, you really need a chance to diversify. And now communities have that opportunity.
We're speaking with Tom Demmer. He is the House Republican leader from Dixon, Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, joined on the phone by Tom Demmer, House Republican leader from Dixon. How are you? Again,
great,
Representative.
Good. Good.
I want to ask you about capital. Deputy House Republican leader. I don't want to put Durkin. I don't want to get Durkin mad at you.
Yeah, they'll give you in trouble.
Yes, not that you haven't earned the promotion, trust me, but that we'll discuss that off the air. But Representative, let's talk about capital. And I've discussed this with Senator Hastings from Tinley Park about now there's a proposal that Senator Sandoval has proposed about doubling the gasoline tax, and along with raising license plate fees and driver's license fees, those kinds of things, to get a transportation capital bill rolling. I mean, I think there is support on both sides for a capital bill, since it's been so long since we had one. But again, that the issue comes down to how we're going to pay for this.
Yeah, it does come down to that. That's the big question all the time. I mean, you know, both sides recognize investments in capital infrastructure are a big part of making sure that we're a competitive place for economic opportunity. You know, I mentioned before the break that a lot of my area, there's a big logistics industry, right? We're in a rural area. You can build a big warehouse, but you have to have a way to get those products to market. So things that we're growing and manufacturing across Illinois, we have to be able to get them on a semi or put them on a train and bring them across the country and across the world. So it's an important investment for us to make. But the big question is, you know, I think a couple of things. One, how do we pay for it? And then, you know, two, what kind of assurances, what kind of accountability can we give to taxpayers to let them know that the dollars are going to be spent in a responsible way, in a fair way, and try to make those dollars go as far as possible. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you have to put that package together and try to make a case to voters that it's a good thing for the state.
Well, is there a process going on right now as far as, you know, trying to do that kind of project identification?
Yeah, there's, I think, a lot of individual lawmakers are reaching out to people in their areas. I know there's a capital appropriations committee that's met in the House and heard testimony from all sorts of different agencies and associations who are talking about the projects that are important to their members. So that's kind of the first step, is to get a sense of what kind of needs are out there by both talking to, you know, to IDOT, to kind of the statewide agencies, but also talking to people at the local level. And then we got to figure out what we can afford to do, you know, what kind of investment we can afford to make.
Well, and it's not just issues of transportation either. I mean, there's a lot of deferred maintenance on public institutions, on higher education, corrections, even local schools.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we look at state facilities, you know, I've got a couple of them in my district is touring those facilities. They're in dire need of repair. You know, some buildings are not, they're not able to occupy right now because they're, you know, just not in a condition to be able to do that. So there is a lot of deferred maintenance and things that have built up over the years. That's, you know, I think also a part of that plan when we're talking about putting together a successful capital plan, we have to ask, you know, how can we make sure that we don't just end up in this situation again 10 years from now saying, you know, boy, it was nice to have that capital bill 10 years ago, but you know, all these projects have been kind of languishing since then. So continued investment in capital to try to prevent problems from getting worse, you know, intervene before the problem kind of spirals out of control. That's an important part of a long-term capital plan as well.
So like indexing the gas tax to inflation or something of that nature?
But also just scheduling your projects. You know, there's a difference, different proposals right now about, are we going to try to do a pay-as-you-go capital and make annual investments? Are we going to borrow and, you know, do more of the spending up front and then pay for that over the long term? And I think you really need to look at, you know, those sort of two sides of the coin and figure out what the appropriate balance is between making ongoing continued investments versus making maybe a big set of investments up front.
Although, I mean, we, in essence, we're doing pay-as-you-go for the last 4 years and really, you know, didn't make a lot of progress.
That's because we're pretty limited in the funds that were available. So if we're talking about doing a new capital program, we're talking about some new revenue sources dedicated to that, I think that gives you an opportunity to maybe expand that plan beyond just the sort of ongoing maintenance projects and actually do some new things year to year.
Are you opposed to a gas tax increase or just...
I think we have to be sensitive about it. But if we're able to put together a compelling plan, I think it's in the best interest of taxpayers that we have an efficient infrastructure. I mean, this is the time of year you're seeing people who say, you know, I got a flat tire because I ran through a pothole so big that, you know, it swallowed up the front half of my car. Those are the kind of things that we need to correct. And if we let some of those resources continue to deteriorate, there's a long-term cost associated with that as well. And so individuals have to, you know, sort of make that decision.
You touched on this earlier in our conversation about the issue of trying to negotiate our way through the really still the current budget year and the shortfalls that occurred there, the budget year, which ends on June 30th. Where are those negotiations? Where do those stand?
Well, we've just begun some appropriations committees in the House, having agency directors come in. We're still a little bit early in that process. But I think this is really important for us to know that, you know, regardless of what happens on the graduated tax discussion, there's no way that impacts this current fiscal year or even the upcoming fiscal year. So we have to, you know, we have to work through trying to get a balanced budget for this upcoming year without, you know, either side being able to talk about that graduated tax. That's still a problem we have to get together on. And so, you know, I look forward to sitting down and having those kind of negotiations. It's something both parties really have to be open to do because there's not a magic bullet here.
No, and there's, as you said, there's no graduated rate. There's going to be plenty of talk about it, but the actual effects wouldn't be seen if it were to even go into effect until 2020.
At the earliest,
right.
Mean, more likely, you know, because November of 2020 when voters weigh in and it's got to be certified and everything before we can pass. So the very tail end of 2020, maybe 2021. And so in the meantime, you know, we have to look for other solutions and we have to be able to negotiate and work together on a balanced budget.
That's Tom Demmer. He is the Deputy House Republican Leader from Dixon, Illinois. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks a lot, Rick.